This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Babali Show, Episode 17. How Some Muslims Get Fat During Ramadan.
This podcast has been brought to you by HalfOurDeen.com, a Muslim marriage website designed for those who want to find their other half privately. Because the only people that should know you're looking to get married are people who are looking to get married. Try HalfOurDeen today.
During Ramadan, many Muslims actually gain weight. Now, I know what you're thinking. How is it even possible when you just finished 30 days of fasting from food and water? In many parts of the world, you've been fasting for 16 hours a day. Considering you spend a few hours for sleep and tarawih, you barely have any time to eat, let alone gain weight. Is it the fasting? Is it the people? Is it the type of food or drink we're consuming? With Ramadan being around the corner, it's a good time to find out. Let's do this.
In a world where cultural Muslims have confused the masses, and speakers are forced to be politically correct, rises one man, one voice, who changed everything.
Hey man, why are you all serious? This is just a podcast.
Let's talk about what they don't want to talk about.
In the month of Ramadan, many of us go to the masjid to break our fast and have iftar with our fellow Muslims. After long summer days, you're quite thirsty. Also, lack of food has you weak, and pretty soon everything starts smelling like food. Once the sun sets, people break their fast, pray Maghrib, and rush to stand in line for iftar. As you watch people getting their plates of food, you notice layers and layers of high-calorie, high-cholesterol, fatty foods that gives our Muslim doctors plenty of future patients. No wonder our parents push us to be doctors. Someone needs to treat them. What makes matters even worse is that the dinner is often followed up with some type of caffeinated drink because people are often addicted to caffeine, so they need their drink, they need their Coke, they need their Pepsi, they need their coffee. Some people think that they're going to actually lose weight during Ramadan, but in fact, they gain it. Then again, when we cook all day and eat all night, what did you really expect? But there is an alternative. There are ways to lose weight during Ramadan and after Ramadan. My guest today, Farah Aboubid, has a degree in chemistry and culinary arts with a focus in nutrition and healthy living. She, along with her brother Mohammed, are founders of Eastly. Welcome to the Baba Ali Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan is just around the corner, and everyone is wondering what's going to happen after Ramadan, because after those long days of fasting and nights of eating, people have to adjust their belts and wondering what happened. As a person who is an expert in this field, can you tell us a little bit about fasting? Is it good for your body?
I, of course, subhanAllah, I believe it's good for my body, only if it's done right. I believe everything Allah demands upon us is good for a reason, inshallah. We eat bad food all the time, and I feel like fasting is just a way giving our bodies a rest, like detoxing and stuff. It's good for our bodies and our digestive tracts to have a vacation because we put so much stress on them and they work really hard. It's an ancient method. They used to do it a long time ago. People would fast when they wanted to direct their body's energy towards healing or like decision making. And it's good to like allow your body to efficiently break down toxins and just give it a break every now and then.
And we know that fasting is not just prescribed for us as Muslims, but the generations before us and the people before us were prescribed fasting as well. It does give you a break. I mean, your body's constantly being bombarded with all the junk we put into it throughout the year. And we suddenly take a break, and sometimes we just take a complete crash course break. I mean, we go from eating 16 hours a day to not eating 16 hours a day. And
exactly.
It's hard.
Of course, yeah. And break from lunch to like dinner or breakfast to lunch, that's not a break. Oh, the snack in between and the Starbucks and all of that, that's not a break. It's good to give your body hours and hours of just time to reboot. And our food is really harsh. Our food is really heavy. It's good to give our bodies a break from all the syrup and the rice and the bread. And
yeah, plus the type of foods we eat today is very different than what they ate 1400 years ago. I'm sure they didn't eat high fructose corn syrup, palm oil, and all these random things that we came and pronounced behind our packages ingredients. And so that even tells us we need the fasting even more. But I'm interested, like, what happens to our bodies during Ramadan?
Actually, it's really interesting. The changes that happen to our bodies during fasting depend on how long we are fasting for. Your body enters a fasting state about 8 hours after your last meal. So when your digestive tract is finished absorbing nutrients from your food, that's when, you know, you enter the fasting state. Normally, glucose, which is stored as glycogen in your liver and muscles, is the body's main source of energy. Once the glucose runs out, fat becomes the next source of energy. And when people fast for a really long time, I mean like a really long time, the body starts to use protein for energy. And that is technically what starvation is. It's when your body starts to use protein. And it's unhealthy because it breaks down your muscles for energy.
Wow.
Yeah, but we don't have, thank God, we don't have to worry about that because we break our fast every day. That's for people that like that fast for days or maybe like weeks.
So we don't even get to that protein phase. We get before that, right?
The amount of hours we fast is perfect because it gets to a stage where your body starts to break down the fat for energy. So that helps in weight loss. And also, you also end up producing your cholesterol levels and your body goes into detoxification because any toxins that are trapped in your fat would break down and get flushed out. And again, but all of this is with a healthy diet. Okay, this stuff doesn't happen if you just eat bad food and fast.
Obviously, because you could imagine a lot of people are listening to this. Oh, fantastic. So all this thing I'm eating, I'm just keep eating junk and it's going to keep coming out. So that's too good to be true. That's so weird because if I'm losing all this stuff, how are we gaining weight during Ramadan then?
Exactly. But like, I'm not eating all day. And at the end of Ramadan, you're like 10 pounds heavier. It's because we feast. We feast so much. When it's time to break our fast, we think we have to make up for all the hours we didn't eat. Yeah. And that is not the case. You do not have to do that. Also, our sleep is irregular because of suhoor and staying up and whatever. And people are not active. During Ramadan, for some reason, people just don't want to move. They use it as an excuse to just lay down and or watch TV. And all those Ramadan state shows on TV, they just like they don't do anything. They just barely go to school or work or whatever. And they don't do anything. And that's really bad. That's how you end up gaining weight.
I tried to start something new starting last Ramadan because each Ramadan, I became one of those inactive couch potatoes because I just didn't have the energy like I did before. So what I started doing, keeping my exercise routine there. And people think I'm crazy for exercising during Ramadan, but if you don't stop and you continue going, it's not that hard.
It's not. It's really not. And you feel better. You're not supposed to be inactive.
Yes, definitely. But you just get a lot more thirstier. But but you still actually feel better, though, because I have much more energy during Ramadan when I exercise than when I don't exercise. And it doesn't really make sense for people because people say, oh, I'm too tired to exercise. And my response to that is, you're tired because you're not exercising.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. When you're not active, you just go into that lazy mode and it's really hard to come out of that. So I don't know. I feel like you should definitely stay active or at least keep doing what you do daily. Don't reduce your activity just because you're fasting. You don't have not take out the trash because you're fasting or whatever. People just lay there. They don't do anything. And I'm one of them. I'm trying really hard not to be.
Well, I've been one of those people as well. And it's really hard. Even though I'm talking about this right now, I hope inshallah this Ramadan, I still stay active. But I think also like what you mentioned earlier, the type of food we eat makes a difference. So can you elaborate a little bit about that?
I'm Palestinian. Our desserts are like marinated in syrup. Our food is so much sugar and there's so much like carbs and like rice and oh my God, I don't know. It's okay. So we all know that it's recommended for a person, an average person, to consume about 2,000 calories per day, just like average person.
Yeah.
And I was just counting calories from like just a simple Ramadan iftar meal. And that one meal exceeds the 2,000 calories.
Wow.
And we keep on munching, munching, munching. Even though we're full, we're like, oh, I'm going to be hungry tomorrow. And I'm going to regret it tomorrow. So I better eat all day. So like we eat all day and then suhoor comes and you're full, but you're like, oh, well, I have to fuel up for tomorrow. So you eat more. And that's like, plus you don't do like, we're so inactive. So you get a lot of calories and you don't even burn, not even half as you would on a normal day.
And what happens with all those extra calories?
Fat, stored as fat.
So the more you're eating, the more you're adding to the problem.
Yes. And the kind of food is just terrible. It's so bad. It makes you feel really bad.
It's the desserts. It's the heavy, the fatty calories. Now, like right now, like I have that feeling that you get after you eat that. And it's not even Ramadan yet. So.
Yeah, I know. Like, oh, my mom cooks and during Ramadan, she'll be cooking. Like she'll start making this main dish and then she gets hungry. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to make two more. And then we end up with like three main dishes and you want to eat from everything. We can't just get a little bit. You know, we just pile and pile and pile on the food and you get full quickly, but we just keep eating and eating. And I'm definitely one of those those people. And I'm trying really hard, really, really hard not to do it.
Yeah, I've also noticed that when I try to eat healthy, I get invited to people's homes and they're not definitely eating healthy. It looks like we are eating for 20 people while there's only 4 of us there. And it's like the question I always ask is, who else is coming? It's just us. I'm like, what is this for? It's like,
and then they force you.
We should ration out this food because this is going to last us for the rest of Ramadan.
So you cook for the month, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Like I said in the intro, we cook all day and eat all night. That's how we gain weight during Ramadan. And unfortunately, it's quite common, especially when you go to people's homes because they're cooking while they're hungry. So we always think that we're going to eat a lot more.
And then usually Middle Easterners and other people too, they don't take no for an answer, especially for food.
Yeah.
And like, no, eat more. No, eat more. And you end up, no, you just have to know your limits. You have to stop yourself. You are hurting your body so much.
And they think you're being shy and you're not being shy. You're just trying to not overeat. So it's hard. So that's my next question is like, how do you prevent the weight gain then?
There are a lot of ways to prevent gaining weight in Ramadan. One of them is just, like I said, iftar meal doesn't need to make up for all the hours without food. Uh-huh. So try to forget that you haven't eaten all day. Just try to do that. And you don't need to pile a lot of food on your plate as well. A well-balanced meal, it should fill you up.
Because I've seen people like fill up the plate like it's Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And like the type of mountain you're going to climb. And like, what is that? Like, it's like you brought enough food for the entire table. And there's like, by the time it's your turn, there's only iceberg lettuce and pita bread left because this guy took all the chicken. So it's like, excuse me, I think that's everybody's food that you have on your plate.
No, that's how it is. And it's so bad. So don't go crazy. Oh, and people like always aim for the things that are high in carb. But also it's the way, I think the sustainable way to do it is to start when it's time for iftar or when maghrib, you know, when that done, you're supposed to eat one date, but it's supposed to give you the sugar that your body's been craving. So yeah, but don't eat more because again, they're like really high in sugar. And then have some soup, have some salad, like the appetizers or whatever you're going to do. Don't aim for the appetizers that are high in carbs, the like samosa and all that stuff. And then go pray maghrib. But take your time. Don't like rush through it and speed through it so you can eat because you don't want to overwhelm your digestive system. You have to give it a break. When you're ready to eat your main meal, avoid the fried stuff, control your portions, and eat until you feel full. Don't force yourself.
And that's the thing. As soon as Maghrib is done, people are like off to the races. And like, yeah. They're running right past me. And it's like, dude, there's plenty of food for everybody. Unless, of course, that guy that takes all the chicken is in the front. They're trying to beat the line before he gets there. But I can imagine how challenging it is, especially like, you know, a lot of people eat a lot of food and they go to sleep right afterwards.
Yeah. And then they wake up like, oh, I got to eat some more because I have a battle tomorrow. I have to, you know, it's like Hunger Games. And then people just want to.
It's literally the Hunger Games.
So, it's the real Hunger Games. This is the real deal. And we go through it every year. And then the next thing you want to do so you can prevent gaining weight is that you don't skip suhoor. If you do, you will get really hungry the next day and you end up overeating for iftar the next day. But you want to make sure your suhoor is not too salty so you can avoid like getting thirsty. Don't treat it as like, you know, a meal for pleasure. Treat it as fuel. Like you want to make sure whatever you eat is just fuel for the next day.
So it's not the quantity of food, it's the quality of food.
You have to make sure whatever you eat can keep you just energetic the next day.
So give me an example, like for you yourself, what do you eat for suhoor or what do you try to eat for suhoor?
A little bit of protein, complex carbs, whole wheat, bread, maybe eggs, but I don't like the aftertaste in the morning, so I'd eat like yogurt. Sometimes I eat cereal. I try not to like eat leftover rice and chicken and all of that at night.
Okay, we're talking all about the food, but and I noticed as soon as iftar starts, like if Coke or Pepsi is available, they're grabbing all the carbonated drinks, all the highly caffeinated drinks. People go straight to the coffee. Of course, if you're from the Middle East, if you're in India, Pakistan, you go straight to the tea.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me what type of effect that has.
I mean, it's not like necessarily bad, but you just have to remember that you still have to drink 8 cups of water daily. And I know we're fasting like 16 hours, but there's time to drink water. I usually drink like 2 cups before iftar, like after adhan, of course, but you know, with iftar, 4 cups between iftar and suhoor, and then 2 cups right after suhoor. And not only will this keep you hydrated, but it will also control your sugar cravings and it will prevent overeating. People usually drink like caffeinated drinks and stuff. Coke and tea and all that stuff does not count. You can't count those as your water. Caffeinated drinks are actually like diuretics, so you end up losing the water you're drinking. But if you want to drink something other than water, you can have herbal teas. Herbal teas are really good. They actually help with digestion and boosting metabolism and like boosting your mood and all that stuff.
There's a lot of different types of herbal teas out there. How do you know like which ones?
Okay, it depends on what's in it. There are so many, I mean, endless herbs. There's like senna leaf, cinnamon, marshmallow root, orange leaf, papaya leaf, ginger. There's so many. There are so many, and you just have to look at what's in it. And it's been a hobby for years, and I've been doing a lot of research. Actually, I make my own tea.
And that's it. That's your company is called Easley. And tell us a little bit about your tea and how that works.
Okay, yeah, my company is Easley, and we have other products coming in. But right as of now, it was the whole reason I made it is because I worked for a really, like a long time to come up with a detox tea that is gentle, that would kind of a laxative, and it just releases toxins from the body. And it has a lot of effects. Like it would take an hour for me to just go into that.
So how is this different than drinking regular tea? I mean, a lot of aunties are, oh, I drink tea. And they drink eight cups of black tea or red tea. How is like the tea that you're talking about different than that tea?
Because the tea that I'm talking about, it nourishes your liver, and it's the liver is the body's main detox weapon. No, it assists with weight loss and by boosting metabolism and reducing fat storage. It treats a lot of things like constipation, hair loss, antioxidants. It regulates blood sugar, helps with like even acne.
Oh, wow.
It's really good. And a lot of those herbs are even mentioned in the Quran, like ginger. And yeah, there are hadiths about it where the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would talk about them and how beneficial they are and how they even used to use them back then as medicine.
Yeah.
And they used to live for a long time, so it works.
But I think that whole two words that you use, weight loss, I think interests a lot of sisters out there, because a lot of sisters do drink tea. And if they can also lose weight while they're drinking tea and actually help their bodies out, I think that brings a lot of interest in. So I was wondering, like the tea you guys have, how does it work? Does it like just like tea bags and you put it in, or is it like?
They're not tea bags. They're like the old style kind of tea. So I get all these herbs and mix them together and I put them in a pouch. And you just have to steep it.
Wow. So you actually make the tea yourself?
Yes. Because I have to make sure I'm getting all the right amounts of everything. So I make it myself. It's all good quality. It's things that I use for myself. And It worked for me. It worked for my friends and family. And I started getting a lot of, because I mean, I wasn't planning on doing this. I wasn't planning on selling before. But a lot of people started using it. And people would lose, I think, like 9 pounds on average in 2 weeks period. It's a 14-day detox. Okay, very little change in diet.
So how does it work? Like, do they drink how many cups of your tea per day?
You drink one per day, and you do it for 14 days because you're just cleansing your body. I mean, it's good to do it like every month to give your body a break, and like just it really helps like boost and nourish your liver. So
is it something that you can drink during Ramadan as well?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can drink it at night. You don't have to drink it in the morning, or you don't have to break your fast with it. You can drink it at night, but it's good. Like it helps also digest all the food, especially if you're going to eat all that bad food in Ramadan. Oh, you shouldn't. It would help your body digest all that food.
So your tea, can you give me like a little bit more information? Because I'm not a big tea drinker, but my wife is. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And all the people that come over my place are drinking tea constantly. So like, what do you guys sell your tea for? And
well, if you go on my website, there's everything on my website.
Okay.
Our main concern is safety and also maximum results. It took me a really long time to like start selling or even start like even giving out my friend, because I had a lot of trial and error, and I wouldn't try on people. I would try on myself and like my brother because I didn't want to hurt anybody. Okay. But they're handmade products and they're proven to show positive results. Yeah, it's just good for detoxing the body. It burns fat, regulates metabolism, accelerates toxins removal. It lowers cholesterol and blood pressure, improves circulation. It has a lot of positive effects on internal organs. It improves memory, concentration, and mood. It's good for weight loss, rich in antioxidants, reduces bloating and increases energy levels, improves skin health and condition, suppresses appetites and cravings. It flushes out harsh toxins and it fixes digestive issues. It's a long list. There's a lot more.
I can imagine. So let me ask you a question. Yes. And I have a lot of listeners and like my wife and a lot of her friends. And would you be okay with giving you guys do a discount code or anything like that? Or would you be okay with doing like a discount code for my listeners? So there's another benefit to listening to my podcast?
Actually, yeah. That would be fine.
Because this podcast doesn't come out until May 15th.
May 15th.
Yes. I'm recording this on May 4th for those people who are listening. Yes, this is how podcasts work. We are live. If you can develop a little discount code, and maybe some of my listeners may be interested in at least trying it, especially the people who are interested in losing weight and detoxing. So I think that might be something, especially with Ramadan right around the corner. So if you can make a, call it whatever, you can call it Ramadan. That would be like an easy way to remember.
If, I can call it Baba Ali if you want.
All right, call it Baba Ali.
Wait, May 15th, so I'll have to know when to make it.
Yeah, this will be, but you want to make it a little bit before May 15th. If you can make it for Call it Baba Ali, and what kind of discount are you going to give them?
Okay, yeah, but I mean, I would really appreciate it if you guys, the listeners, if you guys have any questions or anything, you can email me, or you can even email our, if you go on our website, there's the contact. If you type something in there, it'll go to my email. And if you have any questions about anything, if you're having a hard time losing weight, just let me know. It's really rewarding when people tell me their results, and I always get feedback from people, and I love it. I think that's my favorite part. So yeah, no, I'll definitely give you guys a discount code.
Okay, but so that's it. So listeners, you guys are listening, but she's going to give you a discount code. In exchange, she's, when you do lose weight, inshallah, and you do detoxify and do feel better, you just give her your success story. You can write it up. They don't need necessarily a picture, but they can write it up and give their testimony. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. This is how you, the art of negotiation. So, this is how we negotiate live. So what kind of, what percentage is kind of going to give them off the tea? I feel like I'm negotiating for my tea drinkers.
Okay. 30? Is 30 good?
30 sounds good to me.
30 is good. I've never done 30. So 30 is good.
All right. I think if the tea is awesome and people love it, they'll be back for more. And I think everyone's going to tell, inshallah, and everyone's going to tell everybody else about it. So inshallah, that's how I've done my own personal products. I believe that if the product is good, other people will come back to it. Otherwise, they just try it once. So I think with the 30% discount, it's worth a try. Ramadan's around the corner. Even after Ramadan or before Ramadan, it's a good idea to clear yourself up and to lose unnecessary weight that you just don't want. And I'm sure everybody out there has a little bit weight, a little bit of the spare tire they would like to get rid of. So can you give us the website and your email address so they can contact you?
Of course. The website is www.shopeastly.com. Can you write it like in your...
Yes, I always do that. So forget. For those who are listening, I will put this on my Baba Ali show. If you go to babaalishow.com, just like every other episode, whenever one of my guests has a product or a class or a service, I always leave their contacts and their link. And if you give me your email address and give it to the listeners as well, they can go to babaalishow.com and get their, be able to contact you straight from there. So just for the case, for those people who are not next to a computer, can you give us your email address as well?
shopeastly@gmail.com. And there's also info@shopeastly.com. And also I'll type these. I'll send them to you and you can write them down or put them in it.
Fantastic. So Eastly is E-A-S-T-L-Y. Is that correct?
Yes. Eastly. Yep.
Excellent. All right. With that, I'd like to thank my guest, Sister Farah, for joining us on the Baba Ali Show. And for all my listeners who've been listening, I hope, inshallah, that Ramadan will be a blessed Ramadan for you. I hope, inshallah, you do not gain weight like the many other people who are getting weight during the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, for all those people who try the tea out and it works fantastic for you, please let me know in the comment section how it works out for you. And of course, let Sister Farah know as well, because she even wants to know more than I do, because it's her tea and she's loving every, just like myself, when I have my matchmaking website and every time there's a success story, that to me is better than any laughter I get on any stage. It really is. So it really, really motivates the people who are making products for Muslims, inshallah. And this is not just obviously a Muslim product, it can be Muslim and non-Muslim. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'd like to thank my guests for joining us on the Baba Ali Show. And I'd like to remind you to please go to babaalishow.com. Make sure to give us a comment and go and rate us, please, in iTunes. Let the other people who haven't discovered us discover us so they can see what this podcast is. And I would love to hear from you guys. This is Baba Ali reminding you, just in case you forgot, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Baba Ali Show.